Let me ask you, in what situations do you do neoadjuvant therapy?
So I prefer to do neoadjuvant therapy off the bat in any patient who has severe ascites and likely has significant carcinomatosis that won't be amenable to debulking. Anyone with, you know, a high volume pleural effusion and other evidence of significant disease within the abdomen. Any patient who has what appears to be significant disease within the small bowel mesentery and that won't be debulkable. Those patients I will usually obtain an IR-guided biopsy, a core biopsy, and then proceed with neoadjuvant chemotherapy. I don't usually bring my patients back for evaluations for debulking capability unless I feel they're likely to be someone who can be debulked. So in other words, if someone has those other characteristics based on imaging or physical exam, I proceed right to neoadjuvant chemotherapy. But if I feel that they possibly could be a debulking candidate, then I will bring them back for either a laparoscopy to evaluate disease burden or proceed with a laparotomy.
So what were you thinking about at that point?
At the time of her surgery. So she had very significant disease, which was not resectable. So I felt that I did not think that putting her through a suboptimal debulking, she would have been left with quite a bit of residual disease, would be beneficial to her. So instead, I just wanted to obtain some tissue for diagnosis and close. When I do these via laparotomy, I do a very small mini laparotomy. So in general, it is something that they can heal quickly from, and it doesn't delay their onset of neoadjuvant chemotherapy. So that's what I performed in her circumstance. This particular patient did not enroll in a clinical trial. She received neoadjuvant chemotherapy and had partial disease response based on her imaging and CA-125, but I did bring her back for an interval debulking. And at the time of her interval debulking, unfortunately, she still had a rather significant amount of residual disease, but I was able to debulk her to no gross residual. However, there are more recent publications that suggest that tumor response based on pathologic assays are likely to detect patient outcome in the long run, and I think this patient falls into that group. She had very minimal tumor response. They didn't use that assay that was discussed in the article, but just based on her clinical appearance, her response to platinum was poor. And that's really what happened in her clinical course as well. She completed her adjuvant therapy and was without evidence of disease, but then very rapidly had disease recurrence.
And maybe you can just carry on in terms of what happened to her.
Sure. So she had platinum-resistant disease recurrence. And so based on Aurelia, she was placed onto PLD, bevacizumab, and she had disease progression on that regimen. Her presentation with her disease progression was severe nausea and vomiting and a bowel obstruction. And so she was admitted for that, initially treated medically with decompression, but she did undergo a diversion procedure to try and help her symptomatically. But she really unfortunately progressed very rapidly at this point as far as her disease burden and her performance status dropped off rapidly despite her young age. And so she wasn't felt to be a candidate for any further therapy and then was placed onto hospice. However, she was able to get married after her diagnosis. She had a long-term boyfriend and he proposed to her and they were able to get married. She, I think, was able to enjoy some time with him and he was very supportive of her during her treatment. So this case sticks out in my mind because it's very different than the typical ovarian cancer patient with her disease, rapid progression and really poor response of her disease to multiple different agents. But I think that she, you know, having just seen her mom pass away, I feel like she had some degree of understanding of death that perhaps other younger patients don't. And she really wanted to focus on time with her husband and trying to really be as symptom-free as possible. And I think that following her diversion procedure, her nausea did improve and she was able to be comfortable and pass away comfortably.
What was it like for you to take care of her?
It was very emotional, to be honest. I actually felt frustrated with her disease. It definitely defied the expectations. Usually when I'm talking to patients about neoadjuvant chemotherapy, one of the things I think we can emphasize that in general, high-grade serous ovarian cancers are very platinum sensitive. And so neoadjuvant chemotherapy is typically very effective. And oftentimes, though they have higher risk disease than other patients, we can have certain expectations about what their disease process may look like. And for her, you know, it was frustrating because none of those expectations really panned out. She didn't have really any significant time from the time I met her where she wasn't under treatment, active treatment with cytotoxic chemotherapy. I think that that is an unfortunate thing because obviously our goal is to get patients treated and then hopefully have them without evidence of disease on either some maintenance, which hopefully has acceptable toxicity, or no treatment at all so that they can enjoy their lives. And for this patient, that wasn't the case.
So, you know, we kind of look at this as sort of the oncology version of the M&M, the mortality and morbidity conference, you know, that the surgeons usually do where, you know, somebody came to the ER and got shot, whatever, would you have done anything differently, but more at an oncologic level. So again, one of the things we asked in the survey, and I'm going to ask you about this patient, actually about your other patient too, is, you know, is there anything you would have done differently, either in the oncologic management or in your support of her, looking back on that?